Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have I spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen. May the Lord bless this chapter to your heart. Well, after that Bible reading, I don't need much of an introduction to let you know that today's message was on seeking God's blessing upon our finances. One of the many burdens that fall upon God's people is their financial needs. And in these times in particular, when so many people find it difficult to find work or reduced hours, and there are constraints upon their finances, it is good to know that our Heavenly Father provides, he cares, he sees the sparrow fall. How much more does he not care for his own children? And so we can bring our budgeting to the Lord and ask him to guide and direct it. We
do ask that today that you would pay special attention to God's promise here in this passage, Malachi 3. There is the call to obedience, the call to faith, and the call to trust in the Lord. And I trust that you will do that today. So stay tuned as we come to our message, Malachi 3, verse 10.
10 is another wonderful promise. I don't think we could leave out this great promise in any series of promises in the Bible. And I want to assure everyone that this word is not in response to any lack of giving in our congregation. It is not a response to some concern about the financial giving in this church. As you may have noticed in our bulletin, we had a report there of very strong giving during the month of June. The Lord has provided in various ways. You may notice that our radio monthly fund doesn't always meet the target, but the Lord has blessed this congregation with a reserve fund that meets the need of that week by week. But so I don't want you to feel that it is in response to some crisis or urgent need. But I have a question for the boys and girls, first of all, and it's a math question. And I want you to work this out for me. If you are given a little job to do and you receive the pay of $10 and you tithe that to the Lord, how much do you have left to put in the bank? If you are given $10 and you tithe to the Lord, how much remains that you can use for whatever you decide, put it in the bank, buy your mom something, whatever you choose to do? How much do you have left? Eunice? Very good. So even a little child understands the whole principle of tithing. Now, while the Bible is replete about warnings on money, we've got to rejoice tonight that money is a blessing. When you have bills to pay, money is a blessing. When you go to prayer and you ask God to provide for a specific need and the Lord answers in one way or another, well, you praise Him. It is an item for praise. In 1 Peter 5, 7, that verse I quoted in prayer, we're exhorted to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. And that includes our basic needs, our financial needs as well. In Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus told His disciples and all who were listening in the Sermon on the Mount that we are not to be anxious for the morrow shall take care of itself. And the Christian life is to live a life of trust that God will provide and that He will undertake as the need arises. Then you have in the Proverbs, a number of them, that speak of money, funds, finances, blessings that are material as God's blessing. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And then there's a verse in Ecclesiastes, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Throughout Bible history, there was money and tithing as a part of worship. Certainly was true in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. And in Matthew 22:19, the Lord Jesus also spoke about tribute money. And they brought unto Him a penny. And He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. We know too that the disciples namely Judas in particular, carried a bag. They used money for certain needs and for the cares of mostly an itinerant life. The Lord also commended the widow that was casting in her two mites into the treasury, and she is probably the highest example of one who was tithing or giving unto God in a godly, worshipful, sacrificial way, and the Lord greatly commended her. Now, there is no doubt that the lust of money and the love of money is the root of all evil, but it's not money itself. Paul warned that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Now, the most balanced text that I have know of in the Bible concerning money is in Proverbs 30, verse 8. You want to look on that one up. Proverbs 30, verse 8. And if you make this your prayer in your Christian life, it will honor God, it will keep you from greed, and it will certainly meet every need. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now, as an aside here, there is no special holiness in being poor. We are not monks. We do not believe in monasteries and nunneries and cloisters where people supposedly take vows of poverty and then they live by begging. There were periods when in the Dark Ages they thought that was the highest form of godliness. But the Lord never taught that. The Bible doesn't teach that we should pray that we should be poor, nor that we should take a vow of poverty. No, rather when you have the Christian work ethic that God may provide through your abilities, your talents, and your strength, and that you apply yourself to them, he that will not work, neither shall he eat. And so we are to enjoy those provisions. Now, all of this to say that everywhere we turn, we need money, even in church life, church planting, missionary work. When you try to support a missionary, whatever he's planning to do in the world, one of the big questions is, how is he going to be funded? That's always the big question. Where's the money going to come from? If you're going to a third world country and you are trying to accomplish certain things in a short lifetime, how can you do that? Well, you're going to need some financial support, and that's what mission boards are about, and missionary meetings and deputation meetings and churches that will support all of these causes. Now, money, of course, may be used foolishly to the destruction of our souls, or it may be used wisely to store up treasure in heaven. Money may be used to lust after the world, or it may be used to the glory of God. And what we're going to look at here tonight in Malachi is going to help us, to guide us, that we use our gifts to the glory of God. And obviously we are called upon to use it wisely, to not use it for vanity. And so our money is not to make us miserable. It's not that we might be a miser. Misers just hoard and hoard and hoard and don't spend a penny, and then they just leave it all behind someday. Our money is not to make us proud and greedy. That's not God's intention. And we are not to trust in uncertain riches. Putting our trust in money, that's certainly contrary to the whole life of true faith. And so God has instituted tithing. And here is the godly balance and the right use of our money. We come here to Malachi chapter 3, where we find that God challenged his people Israel about tithing. And when you boil it all down, this chapter comes to these few things. Tithing was God's reason for Israel's failure. And we'll look at that in verse 7. Tithing was God's call to faith. Prove me now, saith the Lord. And tithing was God's call to fellowship. Return unto me. I will restore you, and I will bless you. And so we see that tithing is the central issue of these. Now, in verses 8 and 9, you will read here that tithing exposed Israel's failure. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And so here is failure. Now, when you read the book of Malachi, really the whole book is a book about the failures of the children of Israel. Go way back to chapter 1, verse 6, and you will see how God's honor was neglected. A son honoreth his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And so here was a whole nation, and they had fallen into a secular, godless mindset where they did not honor God. Down in verse 12, you will see that they turned things into the profane. But ye have profaned it. That simply means to secularize. You have turned it to just a business arrangement. In that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even as meat, is contemptible. And then in verse 13, they were guilty of being weary of the Lord. Behold, what a weariness. There's a mark of backsliding. There's a mark of losing out with God when church life, religious life becomes a weariness. Why bother? I've got other things to do. And then in verse 14, where they just brought the torn, the sick, the injured animal as an offering to God. They're the last, the thing that was going to die anyway. Give that to God. And so there was this failure all round. The whole attitude to God was wrong. They were just giving their second best. And now comes this charge that they were robbing God with their tithes. And this was just a part of their whole backsliding attitude, their whole failure. And God challenged them. God came to them very directly, and he said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And then he said in verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, even this whole nation. In other words, I can't bless you. I can't be your God pouring out my blessings while you're living in this way of failure in so many areas. And no doubt the problem was widespread. One did it, another did it, then they all began to do it, and it was a problem in the house of God. The house of God was neglected. The needs for the Levites, the needs for all the worship of the temple was neglected. And so the Lord challenged and said, bring your tithe into the storehouse. Now it seems that the nation were oblivious to their failure. They had been challenged. Will a man rob God? Wherein have we robbed thee? They countered it with a question with a question. They didn't just say, oh yes, we have. No, they questioned God on this. They didn't even recognize that they failed. They didn't even seem to be aware of it. Now, tithing is one of those areas where you can be dead on accurate. It comes down to math, as we've learned tonight. Many other things you can't calculate so easily. Do we love God? Do we show kindness? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? How do you measure that? How do you know when you've done it enough? How do you know when you have been that kind of person to the right extent? And so tithing is something that can be measured. It is something that you can say, yes, I've done that. Or when it's pointed at, I feel to do that. So we know. And God reasoned with his people on this way. Now, should it be the first tenth or the last tenth? At the end of the day, it's no big deal in a sense. But if we get into the habit of making it our first tenth, and then everything else is the necessary or the discretionary, that really becomes a happy arrangement. And so we just don't scrape the pennies at the end of what's left over to give what we can to God. And so this issue of tithing addresses the failure of God's people. And we have to come to God's word and answer the question. Now I move on to verse 10, and you'll see that tithing was Israel's call to faith. Prove me now. Do you notice that word prove right there in verse 10? Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me, test me. Here is a call to faith. And we are to test God, and God promises that he will pour out a blessing that we will not have room enough to receive it. You can't outgive God. Now, we have learned that tithing is division, but the blessing is multiplied. The blessing is so great, we may not even receive it. God is a great giver, and he giveth and giveth and giveth again. The problem is, can we receive it? Are we ready to receive? And so, faith is God's promise of abundance. That's what our faith is in. He will open the windows of heaven. Now, that's a very significant little statement, I will open the windows, because way back in Deuteronomy, when the people of Israel had not yet crossed over into the promised land, God said that if you do not obey me, I will shut up the heavens. And likewise, when the dedication of the temple in Solomon's time, the same was said, that if this people do not worship me in truth, I will shut up the heavens. There will be no rain. There will be droughts. And so this is a mark of God's favor when he opens the heaven and he pours out a blessing. Now, don't think that it's just like a one big dump of blessing and then it's all over. That's not how God works. This is the idiom that was used to say, I will favor your life and ministry and work. If you notice, the promise goes on down in verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit. So here's how God blesses. He gives the harvest. He gives the fruit in the field, and God gives again and again. So this is not like winning the lottery, that if you tithe to God that you'll suddenly become a millionaire. We have a few prosperity preachers who like to fly around the world in jets and such things, and that's the kind of message they project when it comes to money, when it comes to giving and tithing. And of course, they want all that money directed to their ministries. Here, we see that God says, I will bless your labor. And it's like God opening up that job opportunity. It's like God opening up a door, a way that you thought might have never been. Or when there are bills to pay, that extra few hours of work, which covers the need. God can do that, and He can work in so many ways. Rain, sunshine, pest control, thieves, invaders, war, health, all of these things, God can protect us. God can use to work for our good in so many ways. He can make things go well.
You'll be listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Golliher. I think the very best thing that we can do today in light of the message on the Lord providing and undertaking for all our financial and for our material needs is to go to prayer, to ask the Lord to help and to bless. Father, we thank Thee for Your wonderful promises and, of course, Your mighty power to provide every need for Your children. I ask today that You'll remember those that are in dire financial and material need. O God, that You'll remember those that have served Thee, professed Your name, and are looking to Thee in this time of need. I pray that You will work graciously to minister to each and every heart. Lord, we thank Thee that You are able to provide, and we cry out to Thee to answer the prayers of Your people. Even as You provided for Elijah by the brook when You sent the raven to bring flesh to him, Lord, You can provide in many ways. We think of the widow also and her barrel of meal that had wasted, and she took her last handful to make her last cake, and then You sent Elijah. And what a provision was made. We thank Thee, O Lord, that You're able to do the unlikely and indeed what seems impossible. And so we pray that You will grant Your provision and Your blessing to Your people at this time in health, in every need of life. And we will praise Thee with all our hearts in Jesus' name. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Golliher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.